Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
So this past weekend, we had a little bit of a different situation where the power went out in the middle school. I just got a message that it was because of a squirrel, of all things. So all over the area, the power was out, and we had to kind of punt a little bit, which meant that the battery, of course, wasn't charged on the camera. And so I'm going to kind of give you a brief synopsis of the message from this past weekend as we continue our Howl series. Now, this weekend, we talked a lot about the way in which we are really great at sharing. We share thousands, millions of posts a day. There are 95 million photos shared on Instagram every single day. There's 100 hours of video watched every single day on Facebook, and 650 million hours on YouTube alone every single day that are watched. You think about Twitter, there's 500 million tweets that are posted every single day. So we are great at sharing. It doesn't take long. In fact, here's a little bit of a video that Dennis shared of his flat Jesus going and, you know, making some pottery, finishing up some cups with him at his pottery studio. And you can see it's really easy to just find a quippy caption or something and share it out within seconds. It doesn't take long, it doesn't take a lot of thought, but at the same time, when we think about the things that matter most to us, it's really kind of hard to share. Now, I'm not talking about things like, do you love Apple versus Android? We talked about that on Sunday a little bit. Even Apple talks about the people who love their devices as evangelists, and that's a term that even startups and things like that talk about more and more that has been kind of used from that church vernacular is evangelist and those people who are going out of their way to tell others about something. And so we are really good about telling, but maybe not about telling what is most important to us. We're not great at telling about our faith and sharing our faith. We have these images of people who are standing on the street corners, you know, telling others why they are sinful and they're going to hell, even though there's no relationship with the people who are passing by. I've had youth group students telling me before that churches down the street were sending them emails and text messages that they were going to hell if they weren't assured of their salvation, that God isn't happy with them for X, Y, or Z, or making judgment on them because of something. And, you know, throughout Scripture, I don't think that God, at least the picture that I get of God, isn't one that would coerce God's people into believing, but rather makes it an open free will choice. Now, granted that the offer that is being made, if we look at it, is one of life abundant, as Jesus says, and it's one that's really hard to refuse. But at the same time, it's that way that we present and share that faith that makes a big difference and can change lives. And so this week in our Howl series, we talked about how to share our faith, with one big caveat to remember. Is that we as the people of faith, as Christians, as people who follow Jesus, are not the ones who do the converting. That's the Holy Spirit to convict others to make that choice to follow Jesus. It's God's, the Father, kind of his choice to or job to be that one of justice. It's Christ to atone or make us one with and forgive our sins. And so if we look at it that way and keep in mind that it's just our job to present and share the gospel, there's something powerful that can happen. I like the way that Mark Batterson, pastor of National Community Church, talks about the way that worship is like bragging to God about God, or bragging about God to God, and evangelism is bragging about God to other people. I really like that. And so we have three points today, or three things to keep in mind when we think about the way that we are called to share our faith. First and foremost is that if we are going to brag about God, we need to remember the greatest commandment that Jesus offers up in Luke chapter 10. And, you know, he says you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you need to also love your neighbor. So when asked about the greatest commandment, Jesus sums up all the Ten Commandments. If you look at that, he sums up all Ten Commandments in these two short, but kind of two in one verses, that if we're going to brag about God, we need to have a relationship with God. We need to interact and see what God's doing. It doesn't mean that we have to have this whole discipleship thing figured out. It just means that we need to start that journey and be willing to tell other people about what God is doing in our lives or what God has done in the lives of others that we know. We need to be able to then say, you know, what I know about God is this, but every single day, every day, I am getting to know God a little bit more, kind of like a relationship, that I'm praying, I'm reading scripture, I'm in the word, I'm doing the things that I know are going to foster and enliven my life with God so that then I can brag and boast more joyfully and more fully about who God is. And then that second piece is that we've got to love God's people. We've got to understand that the people that we are serving, the people that we are doing ministry and life with, aren't some other set aside and like, oh man, isn't it great that I am helping those people? It's not us and them, but we. And when we love God's people, we love people from our household to our neighborhood to, you know, people that are in other counties and states and on rival football teams and even across these international borders to Africa and Haiti and Cuba and wherever else the Spirit might lead us. It's that God's love is big enough for the whole world and God loves the whole world. And so if we are to love and brag about God, God's grace and love is big enough for every single person. No matter where you've been or your current circumstances or your anxieties about the future, God's grace is enough. And when we start to live into and love into the way that God sees us, we don't see that we're doing some big thing for the people who are so unfortunate at the food bank or soup kitchen or even those people who we work with, but rather, It's working with and being with the people that God has called us to be. Serving joyfully, not out of obligation. Serving joyfully and loving people with the fullness of our hearts. So first and foremost, we need to love God and love other people. And then we need to recognize that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. We are a special creation, unique and wonderful. And so we need to be real. We need to own the fact that there is no one else like us. That there are people that I connect with that probably you don't, and vice versa. And there are some that, you know, we have those overlapping kind of Venn diagrams where we both kind of would connect with others. But the reality is that when we talk about being real and authentic, it's that we have been made in a way that we don't have to pretend that we have everything all together. But just willing and able to connect with on a personal level and say that we want to do more than just share the gospel with you. That is not a hidden agenda, but rather something that we share because it gives us life and life abundant. I love the way that Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, where he says, "We were so glad to be with you. We didn't just share the gospel, but we shared our lives too." I think in that being real, we first and foremost build relationship, that we are good neighbors before we are good faith sharers. Because when we are barbecuing together, when we are doing life together, when we are sharing in that human experience together, it makes that opportunity of sharing what is different or what is on our hearts a little bit easier, or probably a lot easier, because when we have the trust and build up that trust, then we can talk about those things that matter most to us. We can lay on the line and say, you know, I don't see this way, or maybe I have this perspective of my faith that informs the way that I do things, and here it is. And it doesn't have to be some long verbose thing, right? But it's something that allows us to share life together. One of the forefathers of the civil rights movement, Howard Thurman, one of Martin Luther King Jr.'s kind of inspirations, talked about this way in his book, Jesus and the Disinherited, or Disenfranchised. No, one of those. But anyway, he talked about this idea of contact without fellowship. And when we're not willing to be real with one another and share life together, we have contact but no fellowship. When we see our neighbors walking down the street and we nod to them but we don't know what's going on, it's contact without fellowship. And look at the way that Christ would have people come to him, share life with him. He wouldn't just kind of do his thing, heal people, then go back, go to the synagogue and teach and be the good rabbi, and then go back and be with himself. Clearly, he took some time alone in solitude because that was good to recharge batteries. But he also ate with people, not just the disciples. But you remember that story where he fed 5,000 people and he was there with them? Or when the crowds would crush around him and he would then heal and teach and do the things that were doing life together. We have to be able to be transparent and first and foremost, be those people that we have been made to be. Yep, sure, we want to reflect God more fully. But when we say, God, I want to decrease so that you can increase, maybe it's that we just want to increase the way that we do it together, because God doesn't want us to be, you know, some kind of drone or some kind of cookie cutter Christian, but rather that we are called to be the people that we are called to be, made to be the people that we are made to be, living into the discipleship, recognizing that there is a unique person in you. And that there is somebody that you can connect with. There is a story that you share that will resonate with somebody else. Which brings us to our third point, is that we need to be ready to share our story. My stories, my deepest faith, my most impactful faith conversations have not happened over a conference table at Bible study, but rather over sharing a meal or at a bonfire or doing something that allowed the pump to be primed to then have friends who didn't have a faith background say, there's something different. Tell me what's different in your life. And sometimes I was caught off guard and I had no idea what to say. Other times, after, you know, kind of thinking through my story, I come to recognize the way that God is moving and acting in a powerful way in my life. And so I could give them a 100-word answer about what God's been up to in my life today. That's one of the things that Bill Hybels, the author of Just a Walk Across the Room, talks about, is that some of the pitfalls of us sharing our story is that it's too long-winded, man. We try to kind of force-feed the whole meal to somebody in one giant bite. Or maybe it's a little too fuzzy, there's not specifics, there's nothing that is risked, and so we kind of talk in these vague terms. Maybe we over-spiritualize it. The third thing that he says is that we over-spiritualize things. We use that Christian insider language of something happening, and we use this Christianese instead of real person talk. And finally, we have a tendency to make ourselves the hero or over-spiritualize who we are, and it makes it seem inauthentic. And so maybe one of the things that you do, you know, in the next few weeks is start to think about your story, about how your life has changed because of that God has been in it, or because godly people have encountered you, or you've encountered godly people and seen a difference. You know, 100 words, a few minutes, bites at a time, because we've built that relationship of being real with other people and being confident that God is going to work and move in those little conversations, and that questions could be asked and more things could happen naturally instead of just kind of hitting a play button on a pre-recorded, you know, lecture that doesn't matter what the context before or after was, but rather, you know, hey, this is what I've got. You need to take it all in one gulp, kind of like drinking out of a fire hose. I don't think so, right? Is that we want to, you know, kind of invite that living water to come in a way that's manageable, kind of like a water fountain more than the fire hose. So this week, maybe the next couple of weeks, I want you to think about something, this kind of so what that we often leave us with. This past week, I was able to be a coach at an FCA Fellowship of Christian Athletes Power Camp. And what that meant was that I was going to be one of the cross-country coaches. It was a sport that was added late to the offerings. And so I went Monday and said, you know, I'm here if we have enough kids that are going to go. And it turned out that there weren't enough kids that wanted to run in heat that felt like over 100 degrees each day. I was okay with. But I said, I'm here. Use me to whatever you would like. And so we had conversation and we recognized that there was a... a need for an assistant soccer coach. And so I played soccer in high school and figured, you know what, I haven't played in a while, but we're going to give it a go. And so for the week, I was an assistant soccer coach and I was real with the kids. I said, I haven't played since high school, really. I'm not the greatest, but here I am. I'm here and I want you to you know, kind of come to me. If you have questions, concerns, I'll help out, or at least we'll figure out the answers together. And so that went on Monday, and then Tuesday I was kind of sore because I went on a long run after after camp, and so I woke up alarm way too early. Kids were up, the dog was up, everybody was up, and kind of then had this conversation of, you know, before my feet hit the ground, God, just use me for what you will. There's this wonderful Wesleyan covenant prayer that we see from time to time during worship, but it was, God, put me to what you will. You know, do with me what you will. If you want to put me to work, okay. If you want to set me aside for right now, okay. But let me be used by you. I'd encourage you to take the next 2 weeks and pray that prayer, that Wesleyan covenant prayer that we'll have links to throughout our social media and things, where you might be able to then look and see where God might use you, being willing to love God and brag about God to other people by just praying this prayer even before your feet hit the ground and say, God, use me for what you will. And then think sometime in that 2 weeks of your story and of the way that your life has changed because God is in it. I think those are doable things for the next 2 weeks. And I'd love to hear the ways that God then has moved and acted in your life because of those things. Because as we continue on with this journey, as we fall more and more in love with God, as we brag about God to other people, I think lives will change, not just those that you encounter, but also yours as well. Seeing the way that this big, big God has awesome and amazing plans, and that we get to participate in that, sharing our faith, living it out through relationship in ways that say, God, every single day when I wake up, God, use me, for I want to be someone who is valuable to you, so that even in season, out of season, in all the things and all the places, I might be a light to you. Let's pray. Wonderworking God, I give you thanks for this way in which you call us to partner with you, to share our faith, to brag about you to other people, and then to invite them into that gift of abundant life that you have in store. Wonderworking God, please be with us as we go throughout this week, praying that you might use us, make us, mold us, and allow us to be your hands and feet in the next couple of weeks. God, it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. See you later.